This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Only on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Price and David Cruz.
Welcome to Faith Matters with Ryan Price and David Cruz. And today we are talking with Noe Brito, who is a youth mentor with Hombres Nobles, a youth mentoring program here in Lubbock. And he has just retired from the Lubbock County Community Corrections Facility and is someone who's doing an awful lot of work with young people in Lubbock. And we welcome you here today, Noe. So glad to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Welcome, Noe. And Ryan, can I say, first of all, kudos on your Spanish pronunciation of Hombres Nobles. I'm impressed.
Muchas gracias, man. Muchas gracias.
Good job, partner. And again, welcome, Noe.
Thank you.
Noe, we were talking before the show just really about how you've come into this work with young people. Mm-hmm. And I know that it comes really out of your own story. And we thought we might just begin there with asking you how you came to this work and to tell us a little bit about this journey that you've been on for 25, 30 years.
Well, originally born in Texas and raised in Southern California. After my parents divorced, we kind of played let's move here and there and ended up going to 12 elementary schools. So life became a little challenging early, and I got to see a lot of things that most young people don't see or shouldn't see. But that led me to my young adult life of being very involved in things that that led me, you know, into becoming a very ugly person. Through the high school years, everybody experiments, but there was something about my allergic reaction to drugs. That I had an allergy that when I did drugs, I couldn't stop. Some people can do it and move on with life. Some people go through college and do a lot of drugs, and then they graduate and get married and move on. I couldn't do that for some reason. Oh. So that affected my life, and soon we became graduated up to shooting heroin, became an addict, and I just roamed the streets of Southern California and did a lot of activity, you know, transporting heroin across country lines. You know, we're going to Mexico and bringing it to California, and then we'd cut it up and, you know, mix it up with whatever we could to make more of it. Lactose, procaine, you know, we'd use instant coffee, you know, anything we could cut it with. And so then I soon found an outlet to come to Lubbock and bring heroin over here. You know, I'd hop on a plane and do that, and did it for several years. And it became a very lucrative opportunity, but it was a very ugly life. There at the end, around the age of 25, I had become so frustrated and so angry with life, and even angry with God. You know, it's like, you know, how could he say he loves me so much and allow me to go through so much, so many ordeals and craziness and chaos? And that's when my life really began, when I started searching for God. On July 26th of 1980 was the last day that I put a needle in my vein. And not only was it heroin, but back then we were also injecting angel dust. And I don't know if you know what that is, but it's either embalming fluid, that's one kind, or it's animal tranquilizer, that's the other kind. And what we were injecting was embalming fluid. And we would put it in our vein, and you talk about feeling death and feeling dark and just, again, very ugly life that became suicidal, homicidal, just going through a lot of changes in my life, you know. After selling all the drugs, eventually I became my own best customer and ended up with nothing. And was homeless in the streets of Southern California for a while and sleeping on concrete and just looking at some way to make money, steal, rob, you know, hurt people, do whatever we had to do. And so that experience is actually, now I look back at it, and I don't think God planned it to be that way, but God can turn a bad thing into a good thing. And so as a result of all of that, I was able to eventually become a licensed chemical dependency counselor, and that's what I've been doing for the last 25 years.
You know, Ryan, for the benefit of our listeners who obviously can't see Noe, or maybe they've never had the good fortune to meet him, you would look at him today and you would say he's one of the most distinguished-looking men you could ever imagine. And he certainly looks someone who's very respectful and law-abiding and all that. But you said before we began the program, there was a time that you looked very different, and that even as you walked into a church one time, that people kind of clutched their purses and held their children close because the way that you looked. Tell us about that appearance.
Well, actually, to me, I looked normal. The old me thought that was normal, to have long hair that I could turn into an afro, and a very ugly beard that I had. And I got here to Lubbock. Actually, I converted July 26, 1980. By August the 3rd, I was in Lubbock, Texas. Came to visit my mom and tell her about the good news, because my mom actually eventually died from alcoholism at a very early age. But I came to Lubbock to witness to my family. And when they heard I was coming, they had a big barbecue ready and a lot of alcohol and drugs, and I show up, and I ate plenty of barbecue, but when it came down to the drugs, it was like, you know, so what's up
here? They thought they were welcoming the old you, not the new you.
They weren't expecting the new internally improved version of what God had transformed.
I think as you're telling your story, you're talking about injecting embalming fluid, which is what you inject into dead people. What a metaphor that is.
They made a movie about it. I think it's called Dead Man Walking or something like that. Because I actually felt death. You know, and I don't know what it feels like, but to me, that was the most depressing feeling. You know, you hallucinate a lot. Just a wild, dumb thing to do. But
and soul-killing.
Exactly.
You remind me a character from the New Testament, a man by the name of Paul, who underwent quite a great conversion himself. Mm-hmm. And people were very skeptical in the beginning when they encountered him, and they thought, well, is this really the new, like you said, the new and improved version, or is it the same old persecutor that we've come to fear? When we return, because we're about to take a break, I would love to hear more about that experience of conversion. I know we all would.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts with your hosts Ryan Price and David Cruz. Brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters with Ryan Price and David Cruz. And today we are in the studio with Noe Brito, who is a youth mentor with Hombres Nobles, a youth mentoring program here in Lubbock. Noe has just retired from Lubbock County Community Corrections Facility and is someone who has done a lot of work with young people. Most of that work has come out of his own story that he was sharing about a time where he was dealing drugs, both in California and then also here in Lubbock, and then even moved to what he said was, you said, Noe, you became your own best customer, and to the point of even injecting at some point embalming fluid into your own body as a user. Wondering, how does one make the decision to stop, to turn around what you call your conversion, July 26, 1980, the last day you used? How do you come to that point? Because a lot of people don't.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's a ministry called Victory Outreach. They originated in San Antonio, Texas. Freddie and Ninfa are the founders. they have homes all across the country. So this friend of ours, her name is Corina. Corina got talked into going to one of their services. Corina was one of my best friends, and we did a lot of drugs together. We did a lot of things together. And she went to one of their services and got saved. And she gave her life to the Lord that night. The next day she gets up and she says, told me afterwards, she says, Noah, you were the first one that God told me to go talk to. Mm. So here I am sitting on the porch in Southern California, in San Bernardino, in the barrio there, people cruising around, people walking around, partying and acting crazy. And here comes Corina walking up the sidewalk with a Bible in her hand. And I'm sitting on the porch smoking an Angel Dust cigarette and drinking a beer. And I looked at Corina and I started laughing. And I said, Corina, what are you doing? She says, Noe, I've got to tell you something. Please listen to me. Please. And she just went off on me. And I didn't like what I was hearing. My spirit didn't like it. And as she spoke to me, I would intentionally take hits off of that Angel Dust cigarette and blow the smoke in her face. And then I would take a big old drink out of my beer and burp as loud and rude as I could in her face. And she kept telling me, she says, no, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's okay. Go ahead and do what you got to do, but please listen to me. She said, you know what? And she told me of her experience the night before. She says, Noah, you and I both know that we have tried everything there is to find happiness. And we hadn't found it. She said, I found it last night. And I come here to share with you that same happiness. And she explained it so well that I literally, the next time I took a hit off that Angel Dust cigarette, it turned off. It went off. So I put it down, I drank a drink of the beer, and it tasted like it was boiling. And I took a drink, and I couldn't finish drinking, and I just spit it out. And by that point, I'm just listening to her. And she's reading my book, in essence. She's reading my life story. She said, no, you've done this. You've tried this. We've done a lot of crazy things, and you still have a hole in your heart. There is a hole in your heart that you're trying to stuff with all this junk, and none of it works, and it hasn't worked, and I'm here to give you the solution. Before you know it, I was literally crying. Corina kept talking, and I started crying.
That night?
That day. It was afternoon, about 6:30 in the afternoon. And she tells me, she challenges me. She says, you know what? Give God 24 hours of your life. And if God doesn't do something in your life in 24 hours, she said, there's your party. But give him a chance. Give him a shot. Please. And she pleaded with me. And I mean, it was just God. It was just a God encounter that Corina was my angel that day that came with the good news. And so I took her up on it. And immediately, and this is hard to explain because a lot of people, I tell a story, they go, nah, come on, man. I literally felt a hole on the top of my head and on the soles of my feet. And I felt this gushing water running through my body. Couldn't explain the feeling any other way. It was just like something that was just cleansing me, just flushing me. And I couldn't stop crying. And I'm over there, trying to control myself, and I couldn't. And Karina kept talking. She says, Noah, you're going to get tested. She said, you've done it. She said, you have done it. But beware of the test. You're going to be tested soon.
How were you tested?
Well, 5 minutes later, this guy pulls up in a 1965 Chevy lowrider, all dressed up with hydraulics on it. And back then I was into all that stuff. And the guy that was driving was a guy named Archie. And Archie didn't have a car to begin with. And Archie never had any drugs. Archie would come to our house to do drugs, and because we were selling a lot of drugs. So Archie pulls up in a 1965 Impala. He holds up a big old bag of marijuana, like what a gallon bag would look like. It's full of marijuana. And then he reaches into the back seat and he opens the cooler and it's full of beer. And I go, that can't be Archie, because Archie never has any money. He doesn't have a car. He never has any dope. And here he pulls up telling me, hey, bro, got two females. They're waiting. Let's go. And Corina says, that's it, Noe.
There's your test.
That's the test.
Why do you think, given that experience, which was so life-altering for you, that it's so difficult for people to change from a mm-hmm. pattern of addiction or from some behavior that is very self-destructive? Why is it so hard for the average person to change?
Well, basically, it's a decision, and that's all it is. That's how simple this is. And that's my message of the last 25, 30 years, talking to heroin addicts, talking to people at the correctional facility. It's a decision. And when you decide that it's time to quit, then it'll be time to quit. But it's much more than just quit. It's stop and quit, because for now you stop. See, I use an analogy. If you go to a stop sign, what do you do after that? Well, you look both ways, and you look again, then you take off. See, a lot of people stop, but they don't quit. Okay, and that's the difference. See, I quit. I made a determination that day that no longer, ever again, would I put a needle in my vein. And with God's help and Him honoring that decision, I have, that's the last thing on my mind. So this isn't a complicated thing. It is when you're addicted, because now you have all the addiction issues to deal with. There's a psychological addiction. There's a physical addiction. There's a spiritual warfare going on. And people will fight for a little while, but then they say, well, what's the use? I better just go back to where I used to be. And it's amazing how a lot of people do not want to stop, because it becomes a crutch. It's a good excuse. And anytime anything doesn't go good, it's a good reason to go out and get some dope or get some alcohol and go out and live that life.
Mm. Noe, not only did this decision to stop and quit change your life, but it's also changed many other lives as well. Mm-hmm. Much of that coming out of your own work with young people and then also others who are struggling with addiction. We want to hear more about that when we come back from the break.
Sure.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, hosted by Ryan Price and David Cruz, and brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. We are sitting here today with Noe Brito, who is a youth mentor with Hombres Nobles and has also just retired as a drug addiction counselor from the Lubbock County Community Corrections Facility. And he's been sharing today about his story from actually being a drug user and dealer now to someone who has stopped, quit, changed his life, and is helping to change others as well.
Ryan, it occurs to me, listening to Noe's story, which is very compelling, obviously, not only did he bring some order and peace and restoration to his life so that he could repair his life, then he decided that he would take those blessings and channel them into the lives of other human beings that maybe had brokenness and also had some issues that were painful. And that is, I think, a wonderful witness to the world, regardless of what your faith perspective might be, because imagine what the world would be like if we all did that.
Sure.
Would you tell a little bit, our listeners, what drew you to working with young people, and tell us about your experience of working with youth and young men, especially boys, you can relate to because of what you've been through?
We have a program called Tomorrow's Leaders, and it's under the umbrella of the North America Hombres Nobles Development Corporation, which is our parent organization. And the Lord led me to start this 4 years ago. And since then, we have mentored close to 300 boys. And what we do is we mentor fifth grade boys only. The way the boys get chosen is we are currently working with 14 LISD schools. So we go to the principal, we go to the school counselor, we go to the teachers, and they pick the boys that need the most help. And one of the qualifiers for this program is that they either come from a home where the father is permanently absent or the father is incarcerated. And because we believe that these young boys need a healthy male role model to kind of, you know, talk to them, hang out with them, and just share, you know, some experiences with them. So it's a great honor to be able to work with these 72 boys that we have currently in the program. They initially at the beginning of the year they're not as trusting because they're so used to being lied to by adults. And so we come in and tell them, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to go camping, we're going to be in the Boy Scouts, we're taking you to Washington, D.C., and they go, what? But the boys themselves, you know, I see myself in each one of those based on my life experience and how God turned my life around to be able to be a counselor. And, you know, being a drug counselor actually is not just about counseling about drugs. It's actually about parenting, about anger management, about fatherhood. So many other, you know, certifications that I've gotten to pick up along the way. But, you know, our mission statement for the boys program is to build strong boys rather than repair broken men. See, for the last 25, 30 years, I've been trying to help repair broken men, and it is so difficult. Because as men, we're set in our ways. And what man likes to be told what to do. We decided to take our energy down to the fifth grade level and work with these kids that are still moldable before they hit middle school and get the shock of their life of middle school, because they see so much in middle school nowadays that they're not prepared for. You know, that's one of the things that we do. And, you know, one of the boys that comes to mind right now, he shared a story of his experience on Easter Sunday. And, you know, we go and have lunch with the kids. That's one of the things we do as mentoring. We go have lunch with them at school. And we do a lot of activities, baseball games, football games, all that. But this particular day was a weekend after after Easter Sunday. So that was a topic. So how was your Easter? And this young man puts his head down and he says, it wasn't very good. Oh, man, what happened? And he says, well, he said, it started out okay until my uncle got drunk. And then he started chasing people around the house with a baseball bat. I said, they finally pushed him out of the house, and he went on to bust out all the windows of the house. And then he started busting the windshields of the cars that were parked there. I hear that story, and how many more boys get a front row ringside seat on all that chaos and calamity, and in turn, they eventually end up becoming similar to that. If someone doesn't stand in the gap for them, if someone doesn't try to give them some direction or encouragement or challenge them to do good, healthy, wholesome things, like our program, each boy is enrolled in Boy Scouts. That's a partnership we have with the Boy Scouts of America. And so we take them camping and do all these things that these kids, it's kind of foreign to them. So it's a great privilege and an honor to be able to have this program. It's called Tomorrow's Leaders. And we have a website, it's called buildingstrongboys.org. And we also have a Facebook page called Lubbock Tomorrow's Leaders. And I'd like for the audience to check it out. We have a lot of neat pictures, a lot of neat information of who we are and what we do and why we do what we do. So it's a great honor and privilege to be a part of such a program. I partner with two gentlemen, Eric Strong, who is retired also from Texas Tech. He was the director for Upward Bound program. And our other guy is Michael Goen, who has his own ministry called Men of Strength. So between the three of us, we combine three nonprofit organizations. So they're on the board of Hombres Nobles, and it's just the Lord, you know, that's just making things happen, you know.
At the break, you were telling us about going camping, taking these young kids camping, and you talked about, as a young boy, having never gone camping,
yeah,
and what it was like to go camping for the first time.
Yeah, being raised in Southern California, they call it a jungle, and it is, but it's not the traditional campsite. I became homeless in my drug addiction at the time, so in essence, I did do some camping. But not until I became a leader in these programs that I've been involved in that I actually got to experience pitching a tent, doing those things that were foreign to me. You know, we take the boys camping now, and I literally have more fun than they do because I'm still I'm still learning these things, and it's really cool. It's such a and for the boys, you know, to be side by side pitching a tent, cooking a meal, washing, you know, dishes, doing things that, you know, going. We took them out to the campsite in Post a month ago. While they were doing the rock wall climbing, we had a visitor show up, and they call them rattlesnakes. So this rattlesnake wanted to join the party, and and we had to secure it and eliminate it. The boys were just having so much fun. It was,
I'm thinking about what the book of James says about what true religion is. And it says, looking after orphans. Mm-hmm. And while these young boys may not necessarily be literally orphans, mm-hmm. for all practical purposes, being fatherless, and then you step into the gap.
That's a great honor to have that privilege to create influence for these young boys, because they they've already been written off as another cycle that will end up in Texas Department of Corrections, just like their fathers, their uncles, their brothers, mm-hmm. their cousins. It's a cycle. It's a vicious cycle. So here we're trying to interrupt that cycle and direct them more towards Texas Tech.
Noe, thank you so much. Give us that website again.
Website is buildingstrongboys.org, and Facebook is Lubbock Tomorrow's Leaders.
You can catch this show and others on our own website at kttz.org. You've been listening to Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.